I'm going to go ahead and get started. So if you would turn with me to Lamentations 3. Lamentations 3. I'm going to basically read the whole chapter, but I won't do that right off at first. I'm going to start with a verse, and I'm going to go through a few verses. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I'm going to go through a few verses that just struck me and I wanted to talk about. So, Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 1. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. The scripture says that we are the children of wrath, even as others. But this is not what this is talking about. The wrath spoken of us is that wrath that we exhibit or show toward God in this flesh. We, as God's people, will never see the wrath of his wrath. Why? Because of this man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. I agree with Robert Hawker, and not that me agreeing with Robert Hawker means anything, but I do agree with Robert Hawker when he says about this passage, he says, quote, I am free to allow that the mournful prophet might truly say, in reference to his own personal calamities, that he was a man of affliction. But still, I think the personal afflictions of Jeremiah would not have been considered sufficiently remarkable to have demanded a book of elegies, and that is a serious poem or lament. But they would not have been sufficiently remarkable to have demanded a book of elegies in the volume of scriptures. End quote. Neither you or I will see, if we are in Christ, we will never see the wrath of God. We will at times be corrected by God, and maybe for a time it might feel like God's wrath is coming down on us. But we soon come to find out that this is not wrath, but love. Because those chastisements always point us to Christ. Revelations 3:19 says, As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. There is one who has felt the wrath, though, and it was a man. For those whom he loves, this one man felt this in their place. He did it in love. This is what he endured because he did love us, and he does love us. This is what we can see in this scripture, what Christ had to endure in my stead, because I cannot endure such a thing. Nor would I be accepted of God even if I could endure such a thing. This he done for his people in their stead. Substitution. A doctrine this world knows nothing about. What do you think it would be like for a man that when God did this to his son because he loved them and then they turned from him? What wrath would they find one day? God Almighty did this for those he loved so that he would never see his wrath. Those people that are his, they would never see his wrath. That's what he did this for. He also causes them to love him in the day of his power. Those who continue on in believing that God loves everybody and that he did this to make it possible for man to be saved will have a rude awakening one day. Should he not intervene, that is, and intervene only because of what his son did for them, if he did anything for them. I want to go through some of these verses and show the person and work of Christ as best as I can. And I will certainly miss some things, but my point is to lift Jesus Christ, the Savior, up. We have already talked about the first verse, and I'm going to go through that a little bit more here. We as believers do see tribulation, or that is affliction, come our way. We may see this in correction, as I've already said, or we may see this come from promises of God, that we may learn patience through tribulation. But in Acts 14:22, we read, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. So entering into the kingdom of God will be through much tribulation. This will be tribulation that maybe no one else even sees, as it will be an inward thing for sure. But it might also bring with it physical or outward things that happen. But we also read in Romans 5:3, and you heard this recently, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." We see there in those passages that these tribulations are not there to cause us harm, but they are sent by God for our good, although they may not feel good at the time. Romans 8:35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" The answer is, they will not, nor will anything if He loves us. What He did in suffering the wrath of God in my stead is His love manifested. Those things He sends as promised, which will do us good, will not separate us from that love. But we have never seen affliction from the rod of His wrath, and thank God we never will. All because of what He did. What we see is in love, correcting us and teaching us and pointing us to Christ. Our Lord has felt this wrath, which we read of in Habakkuk 3. Walter preached on this one time. Good message. Habakkuk 3:2. "O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy." It was in this wrath which Jesus Christ endured that God is able to show mercy to those He loves. What does this tell me in Lamentations verse 1 about what I can say about this verse? We can say this about ourselves only, and only in our near of kin who did suffer this in our stead. Verse 2 of Lamentations 3. Verse 2 of Lamentations 3. "He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light." We, as we are born in Adam, are already darkness itself, and we are led, if you will, into light. Because if we are just like everyone else, and we are, if we are like everyone else, then that comes into this world, then we are darkness. We are born as corrupt as anyone else. No matter who it is, we are just as corrupt as we are born in Adam. John 1 verses 4 and 5 says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Because of this, as we are born, we love darkness. John 3:19. "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." But what He did on that tree was so that we might be turned to Him. Acts 26:18, "to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." It was and His, He that is light, to be led into darkness. And He was, but this was done willingly by Him, trusting in the Father that He would be raised again. Just like the picture we see with Isaac and Abraham. Abraham was going to kill Isaac, but Isaac trusted his father that they both would return. But here is the darkness, I believe, at least one of the things we can see as it pertains to Him being led into darkness. Matthew 27:45, we read, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour." Now this was a physical darkness. But He was also made sin. He was made the very thing I am, bearing our sins in His own body. So He was made as dark as me, yet without sin. But we see the real darkness that he experienced for us in the next verse, Matthew 27:46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Christ is the light, and he was, is, and ever will be that light. He is eternal. Yet he experienced this darkness of being forsaken of the Father, and this is not explainable by us. Only believed by us by his power. Verse 3. "Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day." Simply put, God has never been turned against me. Although, as said before, those things he has purposed for us, they may seem severe. And it may seem at times as if God has turned against us. But rest assured, he has never and shall never turn against his people. Why? Because of the kinsman redeemer. It is he that we read about when it says in Zechariah 13:7, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones." Not only this, but no man would or could help him in that time when the sword was falling on him. And this is Christ speaking in Psalm 22:11. "Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help." Those are the words of Christ in Psalm 22. There is no doubt. The whole purpose of God depended on Jesus Christ the Lord going through this all the way to the finish. Had he been stopped, man would have perished. There was none to help, as it was not God's purpose for anyone to help. But there was no man born of Adam that could have helped nor would have helped. But God the Father turned his back on the Son, and we know this because it was the cry of Christ as we read, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Verse 4. "My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones." I know we read in Scripture that not a bone of his body was broken. But that's not what this is talking about, I don't believe. We read in 1 Corinthians 11:24, I think this will kind of give the sense of what this is saying. 1 Corinthians 11:24, we read, and this is Paul when they're doing communion. When they were doing communion, he's talking about Christ's words. "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." This is talking about his sufferings. His body was so battered and bruised, the exhaustion he must have felt. But even during this time, Jesus Christ is the eternal God. We must keep this in mind when we read these things, that even when we think of that which he was made, he was at this time the eternal God. That shame that he endured, he despised. These things we can only say we have experienced them in our substitute. We may at times feel weak, feel as if we are broken, but this breaking we have as a child of God is that broken heart and contrite spirit, which those are the kind of people God saves. Those who have had their eyes opened mourn for that which it took the holy sovereign God to do in order to set them free, set me free. This giving me liberty to serve Jesus Christ. But from that enabling to serve Christ, we also find joy in what he did for us, because we could not have done this ourselves and survived. We know we would have been destroyed by the rod of his wrath had the God-man not took our place. So now let me just read verses 5 through 21. "He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. Christ speaking. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgat prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance as is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Now verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. The whole existence of this world is to give glory to God. That is the meaning of life, if anyone was wondering. We see here that it says that it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. God is a gracious God, even though most may not see it. God is both good and severe for those whom he has been pleased to show mercy, and the whole reason why Jesus Christ, our kinsman redeemer, was sent, goodness to them. But to those who do not believe, severity. But it is because of those mercies that we are not destroyed in hell. His compassions do not fail. Why? He is sovereign. What God says is. He is faithful in all he does because it is who he is. What does it say next? They are new every morning. Hearing about Jesus Christ and what he has done never gets old to the believer. Not because they themselves are so good, but because he is faithful to do that which he has said he would do. Verse 24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. My portion is Jesus Christ and him crucified. My soul delighteth in hearing his word proclaimed, no matter who it might be that proclaims it. We are but broken clay pots. We as clay pots add nothing to his glory. All we do is proclaim his glory. God must and does apply his word by his Spirit. The soul of the believer yearns for Jesus Christ. But listen, this is still all only because this is what God the Son feels about God the Father. I can only do this because he is my light and my life, and in him because of what he gives, and all this based on what he did, not what I do or you do. Scripture says God loved Jacob and hated Esau. But this was before they were ever even born, or before they had done any good or evil. So God loving us has nothing to do with what we would do or not do, whether those things be good or evil. It is all because of his purpose, all being based on what Christ would do. It is if he wills, he can make us clean. Verse 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. I'm not very good at waiting. But God, remember, he sends us tribulations. This brings patience. He will make us wait on him. All of his power. He gives that sweet desire to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Those of his knowing that they have no righteousness of their own. But they hunger and thirst after that righteousness which is without the law, and that glory that excelleth. It is a righteousness that gives them communion with God. God sees those that He has done this for on that tree as absolutely righteous before Him. Although we cannot see this, but we seek that one who we know who has done it by His grace. We reckon it to be so. I want to go ahead and just read the rest of Lamentations, starting in verse 27, I think we're at. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. Thou hast covered with anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain. Thou hast not pitied. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud, that our prayer should not pass through. Thou hast made us as the offscouring and refuse in the midst of the people. All our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and snare has come upon us, desolation and destruction. Mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission, till the Lord look down and behold from heaven. Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Mine enemies chase me sore like a bird without cause. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast stone upon me. Waters flowed over mine head, then I said, I am cut off. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breath, breathing at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidst, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong. Judge thou my cause. Thou hast seen all their vengeance and all their imaginations against me. Thou hast heard their reproach. O Lord, and all their imaginations against me. The lips of those that rose up against me and their device against me all the day. Behold, they're sitting down and they're rising up. I am their music. Render unto them a recompense. O Lord, according to the work of their hands, give them sorrow of heart, thy curse unto them. Persecute and destroy them in anger from under the heavens of the Lord. Jesus Christ is that man who hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. It is He that has suffered all this, and it is He that causes us to see this. This He does for those He loves. God enable us to see Jesus Christ in the Scripture. His afflictions were to our benefit. I don't mean to make light of any of God's people's afflictions. God does all things for His people on purpose, and they are for our good. We should be helpful to one another and consider what one another is going through. But I often think of Paul and Silas when I think of afflictions. Our afflictions, although we might not know it, may be to the benefit of others. God, through those afflictions we see Paul and Silas going through, where we read of them praying and singing praises to our God. I pray He enable me to be this way. But we see through their afflictions God was bringing another to Himself. Is this always the case? I don't know. I don't think so. Is it always the case? But I don't really know what God had in store. But it is the afflictions of him who is our substitute that we are made brethren of the thrice holy God. May it be that he, the one with absolute power, gives someone life so that they will then be able to hear his gospel. Amen. May he then cause them to cry out, Lord, propitiate me. Him that is stricken, smitten, and afflicted by the rod of his wrath in love for me, raising to life and being seated at the Father's right hand, where he is faithful to those for whom he died to cause them to wait on him and look for him, cause me to see him.